Okay, so it's Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10, and it's on page 1181 in the Bibles. Philippians 4, starting at verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarah. My brother's birthday is Christmas Eve, and we've always ensured that he gets both birthday and Christmas presents. I remember one year when I was very little, I got very cross and very upset on Christmas Day. And when I was asked by my parents why, I told them that it wasn't fair that Father Christmas had left my brother more presents than he had left me, and I had been just as good as he was, if not even better behaved. Mum tried to explain to me that I had a birthday in August, and I got lots of presents then, and then I got lots of presents at Christmas. Whereas my brother had his birthday yesterday, and then he got his Christmas presents today, and he had just put them all in one pile together. And he would have to wait a whole year before he got any more presents, whereas I only had to wait until August. But no, I was not having any of it. It was not fair. I was not impressed. I was not going to be content. As we come to our end of our series, working our way through the book of Philippians, we're going to look, as Mark said, at these very last few verses of the letter. And you'll see, being content is a key theme. As we've seen over the last few weeks, Philippians is one of Paul's most personal letters. It's a powerful reminder of the transformative power of faith in Jesus. It includes lots of personal applications for believers, both the original recipients of the letter and for us today. The book of Philippians is like a heartfelt letter overflowing with joy and encouragement. It's a spiritual pep talk, urging believers to live joyfully, humbly and faithfully with their eyes set on the eternal prize. And as we come to this final passage, it's helpful to keep in mind that Paul was writing to the Philippians from his imprisonment in Rome. He had planted the Philippian church about 10 years earlier, and the church had sent him financial support on several occasions. In fact, Paul's letter to the Philippians is, in one sense, a thank you letter from a grateful missionary for the financial support he'd received from the Philippian church. From the very start of the letter, it is full of encouragement and instruction. Paul prays for the Philippians with joy that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He encourages them to stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, particularly when facing persecution. Chapter 2 starts with Paul reminding them to be united in humility. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Just imagine a world where everyone followed that advice. How different it would be today. Another theme that runs through the whole letter is one of joy and rejoicing. Paul uses the word 16 times in these 104 verses, more than any other biblical book of this size. So even though Paul is held captive, he rejoices that Christ is being proclaimed. He rejoices in his persecution, and he encourages others to rejoice in the Lord. And at the start of chapter 4, he refers to the Philippians' brothers and sister as his joy and crown. I do love chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. A call to all believers to keep rejoicing in all circumstances. We have such a great role model in Paul to learn from. And as Christians, we can rejoice and experience the peace of God by casting all our cares on him. If we, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, we will know God's peace. And as we shall see this evening, if we are contented Christians, then that's another reason to rejoice. Paul's joy, in spite of persecution and imprisonment, comes shining through this letter. And as we come to the end of it, we'll see this final theme of being content. The whole first part of our passage is Paul giving thanks to the Philippians' gift and showing his contentment in God. In verses 10 and 11, Paul writes that he is grateful for the Philippians' support, but he also wants them to know that even in difficult circumstances, he has learned to be content. So let's delve into these final verses to understand what it is to be a contented Christian and how we can follow Paul's example today. Paul writes in verse 10, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. When I first read this, it sounded a bit like Paul was telling the Philippians off. At last you renewed your concern for me. But actually, what Paul recognized was that they were always concerned for him. They just couldn't always show it. Indeed, if we look towards the end of our passage, Paul remembers that the church in Philippi had supported him for a very long time, and more so than the churches in Macedonia and Thessalonica. Just think about it. We support our mission partners through giving via our bank accounts. It doesn't matter where they are in the world because we can send them an email or a message to keep in touch. But for the Philippians, there was no WhatsApp, no emails, no electronic banking. So it would be so much harder for them to show their support. They often wouldn't even have known where Paul was staying. So Paul is making clear that he is thankful for the gift from them, but also that he was secure in God's providence. He knew that God would provide for him at exactly the right time. But it's more than that. Paul shows us that a contented Christian is satisfied in whatever situation. He writes in verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Just imagine the circumstances Paul is in when he writes this. He's in prison, possibly chained up, possibly with very little food, and yet all he does is affirm his complete contentment in spite of his circumstances. The Greek word for content appears only in these verses in the entire New Testament. One commentator notes that in extra-biblical Greek, who knows what that is, it was used to speak of being self-sufficient, having enough, or not being dependent on others. One ancient writer used the word in reference to a country that supplied itself and had no need of imports. So what Paul is saying is that true contentment comes only from God, that he is all-sufficient and enables us to be at ease whatever situation we are in, whether good or bad. Paul goes on to build on what it is to be content in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul had quite a life, wonderful highs and awful lows. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28, summarise his lows rather wonderfully. Buckle in for the ride. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. It's quite a list, isn't it? How content would you be if even half those things had happened to you? Yet in spite of all that has happened to him, here in this letter to the Philippians, he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Contentment was not a personal attribute. It wasn't a character trait. No, Paul learned to be content. Look at verses 11 and 12. In both of those, Paul iterates, I have learned to be content. I have learned the secret of being content. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's something we need to learn to be. Thankfully, we probably won't experience the trials and difficulties that Paul did. But life doesn't always go the way we hope. And in those times in particular, have we learned to be content? I know I haven't. It's a challenge, isn't it? We see others having things we want, or life isn't going the way we'd hoped. It's easy to become discontented, and if we aren't careful, that can turn to jealousy or anger. We forget to give thanks for everything God has given us in our lives, to rejoice in him. We need to learn to be content in the place we are. When we do find it's hard, it's good to remember verse 13, as that gives us clear instruction as to how and why we should learn to be content. And for me, this is a key verse in this passage. In our translation, it says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The ESV translation says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, when I was preparing this talk, I realised I've been misunderstanding this verse for many years. Perhaps, like me, you see it as an inspirational verse of scripture to be used as an encouragement in hard times. I can do anything through him who strengthens me. With God on my side, I can get through anything and everything. God will give me the strength I need. But that's not what Paul meant. It's not a promise that everything will go our way simply because we believe. In this verse, Paul is reminding us of the hope we have in the midst of our struggles and our difficulties. He is saying that our circumstances don't have to dictate our happiness or contentment. Paul has learned to be content regardless of whether his life is going terribly or well, whether he's hungry or well fed, whether he is free or in prison, whether he has much or nothing. He's content not based on his circumstances, but rather based on a person, Jesus. Paul is trying to get across to the Philippians and us today that we can have peace, joy, and be content regardless of our circumstances. Paul's not just saying this, he's living it. Remember, he wrote these words from Rome whilst sitting under house arrest. He's in a bad place, and he can't rely on his own strength. It's while imprisoned with no freedom, likely to be hungry, and not knowing if he's on his way to his death, Paul writes these words, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." One commentator wrote, Philippians 4:13, it's not so much about having the strength to stand up and sing a solo in church, or about who has the strength to play to the best of their abilities in a sporting contest. This verse is about having the strength to be content when we are facing those moments in life when physical resources are minimal. This is about having faith in God who provides, the God who is sovereignly in control over every circumstance in life, the God who sees and knows our needs and has promised to meet them in Christ. So we need to remember that this verse is not about being motivated to conquer something. Rather, the context shows us it is an encouragement that when we are facing almost certain defeat, in our weakness, God is strong. Paul's contentment did not come through inner determination or the power of positive thinking. It was Jesus who gave him strength. Paul knew that if he had Jesus and nothing else, then he had enough. The promise of Philippians 4:13 is that though we will face hardships and go through trials, God will bring us through. Not only that, but we can have peace, joy, and be content, even in our darkest days. Paul is the living proof of this. We've seen he was beaten, whipped, shipwrecked, jailed, and eventually killed for his beliefs. He didn't have an easy life, but he constantly writes about how he is full of joy, at peace, and content. How? Because he has Jesus. And the same can be true for us. We can find peace, we can experience joy, and we can be content regardless of how much or how little we have if we have Christ. And if we have Christ, we can be content to rest in God's promise, knowing that he will provide what we need when we need it. But what does contentment look like for us today? I think the first thing is that we shouldn't let our circumstances determine our joy. If life is going well and things are generally good, then I'd say, I'm happy. But when life is hard and things aren't going so well, then I'd say, I'm unhappy. But that's not how it should be. If we look at Paul's example, we will be content, whatever our situation is or circumstances are, because we know Jesus gives us the strength to do so. We have Jesus, and so don't need anything else. And that is the key. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. In the midst of his darkest days, that's exactly what Paul did, and that's what got him through. Paul understood that through Christ he could do all things, even be content in a prison cell. And this passage should challenge us to keep our eyes on the right place. When we get distracted and start focusing on all the problems around us, we lose sight of Jesus and forget that he is in control. But when we keep our eyes on him, we can get through whatever it is that's in front of us. When life is going well, that's the time I find I can forget that God is in charge. I think I can do it all by myself. Everything is going swimmingly. I don't need God. But invariably things go wrong or I become discontented that things are not going the way I'd planned, and that's when I remember I need to turn my focus back to God. It's so easy to continue wanting more. There's never enough money. but you can gain more and more personal wealth. You can have endless food and drink, a dream home, luxury car, go on endless holidays, and yet still not be content. Finances can be stable one day and then something unexpected happens and suddenly we have very little. Our health can be fine and then we are told we have some awful illness. We don't know what the future here on earth will bring. Learning to be content in the here and now is something that Paul is showing us how to do. He shows us here that he has learned to be content and that he does all things through him who strengthens us. Paul took this word translated as content, which remember was a word used for self-sufficiency at the time, and turned it heavenward. He could be content not because he was self-sufficient, but because Christ was all-sufficient. Christ was enough no matter what Paul's earthly experience was. Christ was enough no matter what Paul needed. And so it is the same for us. True godly contentment comes from our Saviour. No matter what our situation is, we have a Saviour who died on the cross for our sins. He took the penalty that we deserved and offers us eternal life with him in heaven. When we truly grasp the gospel, when we truly understand the sure and certain hope we have of eternal life with Christ, then we can be content. The situations of our life, good or bad, will fade into the background because we have a guarantee of eternal life through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection when we believe in him as our Lord and Saviour. Knowing that means that when we are in plenty, we can be content and give thanks to God for his provision. And when times are hard, we can be content because we know God is with us and he will provide all we need in that place. And that in turn enables us to also rejoice and give thanks. Being a Christian does not mean that we do what we want and ask God to bless it. It means that we seek the will of the Lord and walk in obedience to what he guides us to do. Only then can we truly do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Only then we can truly learn the secret of contentment. There's a well-known statement by John Piper which says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That's really a statement about contentment, isn't it? True contentment is found only in God. So let us find all our satisfaction in God, and we will discover true and lasting contentment. This short letter gives us so much and helps us remember that true joy comes from our relationship with Jesus, not our circumstances. That we should follow the ultimate example of humility, Jesus, and live lives that are humble and serve others. We should persevere in faith, remembering our citizenship is in heaven, and we should strive towards the goal of knowing Christ more deeply. And when we do that, we will learn to be content because of the strength that Jesus provides. So let us go out joyfully, humbly, and faithfully with our eyes set on the eternal prize. And let us be content with where we are today and rejoice in knowing that in our weakness, God is strong, that he is all sufficient for our needs. Amen.